We are going on tour. The Glamorous Trash Podcast and my book tour have collabed, and we're coming to a city near you. Click the link in the show notes to get all of the deets. We're coming to New York City on June 4th. We are kicking off an event with Jon Stewart. No big deal. That's our very first show in New York City. Then we're coming to Washington, D.C., Nashville, Chicago, Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Seattle, Portland, and Los Angeles. So get your tickets now. We are doing three different events because, you know, I'm always doing the most. That's just on brand, right? First, there's a Glamorous Trash Party. It's the podcast meets the book tour meets Coachella, a live show featuring podcast segments, book segments, a very special guest. And of course, there's a runway walk at the end for people to show off their fits because the dress code to every event is obviously glamorous trash. We are also doing a Cookie Country Club. It's the anti-country club country club. And it's very dreamy. You get like a bunch of products. There's little events. And it's a more intimate event where you meet other cookies and listen to a book chat with what, me and another special guest. And then the final event, the Behind the Bangs Writing Workshop. I finally did it, put together this workshop because I wrote this book in many ways for younger me. And younger me would not have gotten off her couch unless there was also a workshop being taught. I wanted the gems. I wanted the knowledge. I wanted the education. That's what I would have wanted. So I've decided I'm doing it. And in the workshop is going to be the six writing gems that took me forever to learn. 15 years. In my 15-year career as a TV writer and author and blah, 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 all the other things I've written, there are six things that I always use. And all of those are in this workshop. So if you have an interest in writing, sign up. All the ticket links are live today. Click the show notes. Click my Instagram. We are coming to a city near you. And there's going to be some meet and greets. I'll sign some copies of books. We'll give out more books. And I have some pieces of merch that I'm taking on the road. And I'm going to give them out at the shows. Super big announcement. I am hosting a show called The Glamorous Trash Party in honor of Glamorous Trash, the newsletter I send out. It's going to be glamorously trashy. It is half stand-up comedians, half drag queens. I'm hosting it. It's December 1st, which is a Thursday. It is live in Los Angeles if you want to get a ticket in person. It is also going to be live streamed, and we are selling tickets for that. I am going to do drag for the first time in, oh my gosh, maybe 5 years. And I'm so excited about this. The woman who taught me drag, my drag mom, is going to perform. She's coming back to LA to launch this show because it is a special show celebrating the fact that Celebrity Book Club has been listened to over 4 million times. I truly cannot believe that. But when our producer, Kate, told me that, she said, have you looked at the numbers? I said, no. She said, did you know it's 4 million? I said, we should throw a party. So we are doing the show. And then afterwards, it is a Celebrity Book Club sponsored party. If you come to the party, you're going to get super cool gift bags. We have a piano bar where you can request songs and sing them to the piano. We have a photo booth. We have a ton of stuff on top of the show. I think we have custom cookies coming for you. It's a lot. It's super cool. We are really celebrating hard. And most importantly, all the proceeds are going to go to Futures Without Violence and the Mariposa Fund in New Mexico. Futures Without Violence help women live free of domestic abuse. And the Mariposa Fund helps women seek abortion care and health care who really need it. And they're in New Mexico, which is a state that still provides abortion access and is in a central location to a lot of states that no longer provide that. So it's a really great place to donate to. So buy a ticket if you want to support. Come see us live. Come see us on the stream. And it's going to go to a really great cause. And what? 4 million times? Okay, let's celebrate December 1st. The link's in the show notes. Welcome to Celebrity Book Club. This is a podcast that recaps and celebrates the memoirs of female celebrities. I'm your host, Chelsea Devantes. I'm a TV writer, comedian, and filmmaker, and sometimes I'm in stuff too. And this week, we are book clubbing Constance Wu's memoir titled Making a Scene. I love the title. I love the book cover. I think it's a 10-10 from me on title and visuals. And it's a great title for her book. It was published just last month in October 2022. I had a pre-release copy. I've had this book for 4 months. You guys, we're going to get into it all. This book gives you so much on being an actor, New York, so many dating stories, what happened on Twitter with some tweets. It's got everything. So let's dive in.
Go on. What made you want to do this?
Well, you know, I feel like with social media and internet culture, we often only get a little snippet of people's lives, and then we make a judgment based on
sure.
it. And I just think, I think as an actor, what we love is like really exploring the human experience. And I think snippets of people's lives can be very reductive to what it really means to be a human. So I wanted to take the opportunity to write something that was more expansive. So that's what I did. That's what I did during my pandemic.
And what's the book called?
Making a Scene.
Making a Scene. Good title. Good title, Constance Wu.
Okay, we are diving into Constance Wu's book with a very important guest, a very long time coming guest. Me and this guest have been DMing about this beautiful episode and us doing this podcast together, I feel like, for 2 years. It is Anna Hosnier. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so then one of the chapters that I really, really, really loved is when she talks about Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
And she says, I want to read this paragraph she said. Then came Fresh Off the Boat. FOTB would be the first American network TV show in more than 20 years to center an Asian American family story. It was inspired by Eddie Huang's memoir of the same name. Eddie, like me, was an Asian American kid who grew up in an all-white suburbia, but he'd had a very different experience. He hadn't always fit in, and his parents were strict, not easygoing like mine. I was cast in the role of the mom, Jessica Huang. When I got the part, I felt a mixture of happiness and uncertainty. I was elated to have an acting job, but it hit a lot of soft spots. Number one, it was a mainstream comedy, and I'd always considered myself a serious dramatic actress. Number two, my character was a mom 10 years older than I was, which I'll admit was a blow to my vanity. She's so honest. I love it. Number three, the softest spot of all was her Asianness, her demeanor, her values, her accent. This is tying back to another part of the book, but she says she wasn't trying to avoid the T-Rex. She was taunting it. And so I love that she talks about how this show is like hitting these pain points. So it's going to be very successful for her, but it's going to like bring up a lot of like pain and identity. And then below this, she writes a sentence that I love. She said, I'd spent my 20s more worried about rent than representation. I admittedly didn't know much about. Which someone said this to me once, and I just so resonated with it, which is that like pondering your identity is such a privilege.
Yeah.
And I feel like often in our current discussions as someone who has like a podcast about this, I'm really curious your opinion, which is like when like rent is due and you're suffering and in pain and all those things, like you can't really sit around and like ponder like what is my identity? And like, it's just something that like you really have to be, because it's such a like touchy subject. You really have to be supported and feel safe to just like go into these philosophical conversations about yourself that I feel like people think come easily, but I don't think they do.
No, I agree. And like when you're growing up, like you have so much just inner turmoil about being a kid, being a teenager, fitting in. You don't want to be different. So you're really actually avoiding it at all costs. Like you don't want to talk about your parents, like where they're from. You know, you just want to assimilate quickly. I mean, like I didn't even start really accepting or like just being like, openly Persian or like, you know, just, you know, trying to be different until I got to college and I was like, oh, it's actually cool to be different. Yeah. But like through high school, my emotions were not in the place to think about anything on any deep level. You know, like
Absolutely.
I was just trying to like keep my friends and not lose them in like a petty fight, you know. My mind was so simple. And I had to literally like leave home and like find other people who were like me before I could even remotely, you know, start thinking about who I am. And even then, like, I didn't really start trying to, like, push for more representation until I was, like, in a steady job with a steady income. And then I finally felt like I could try and make, you know, a difference.
Yes, yes. But I that is so well said. And I love the way Constance speaks to it, where she's like, yeah, in high school, I was trying to assimilate, just like you said. Yeah. Like, I was trying to assimilate and, like, be cool and popular and like deal with Fiona.
Yeah.
Like, then in my 20s, I was like, I have to pay rent. Like, I can't, like, she was a waitress most of her 20s and like make parts. And then from there, she gets cast in this show that is like, you are, again, the first Asian American show in 20 years. The first one being Margaret Cho's show. So it's like, you're going to really hold representation for such a large group of people who never get it. And she was like, I was not. That was something I was like versed in. And I just love the honesty because I think that's how a lot of people probably feel, but don't feel like they can say it because that's not like maybe the correct answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's tough because, I mean, we know more than anything in this industry, like people hold your feet to the fire.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're intense.
Well, it's
if
also,
you don't do it exactly right, oof.
You're ruined, which is why I... This is my favorite two paragraphs in the book. I'm going to read it all in full. I've heard a lot of Asian actors say, I refuse to play stereotypical roles. I want to choose roles that could be played by anyone. They say that success will be when our Asianness isn't a part of the story, when we get cast in non-stereotypical roles. I do not subscribe to this idea of success. That career ethos, that desire to shut down Asian stereotypes, is a reaction to a Hollywood standard that was created by people who do not know us. I got into acting to be creative, not reactive. There will always be people who don't get it. You don't make art for them, so why make your choices a reaction to their ignorance? There are real people who genuinely embody stereotypical attributes. There are mothers and our fathers, our uncles and aunts, our brainy cousins. I don't want to hide their voices or their stories. They are human too. Stereotypes are not harmful for their mere existence. They're harmful for their reduction of a person or group. Stereotyping reduces a person to his most obvious attributes, then exploits that reduction. In many ways, I think that previously stereotyped roles deserve more representation because Hollywood really did them wrong the first go-round. That's why I want to see great Asian American actors in previously stereotyped roles because I know what great actors can do. They give them a character, flesh, bones, history, heart, expanding them, not reducing them. So, I mean, the notes on this page are so huge because I think this can apply to every quote unquote minority group in Hollywood. And the one like I'm always constantly talking about on this podcast, just the general group of women where old out of touch men for years wrote female characters and they mm-hmm. created things like the catfight, you know, the sexy girlfriend who says nothing, all these things. So now when you produce a script and you have like two complicated women getting into a fight, they're like, oh, no, we don't do that anymore because that's bad for women. And it's like, no, what you did is bad for women, and now you're erasing any nuance or complexity because someone else created a negative stereotype about us and did it incorrectly. And the way she said it is a lot more accurate, but I was just like, this is so beautiful. I wish that it was talked about more in our industry.
Yeah, I agree. It really hits a place where you're like, at first I was kind of, when I started reading it, I was like, wait, what is she saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then as I really started to think about it more, and I was like, no, yeah, she's right. Like, we don't even get to portray ourselves anymore in a way that's true to ourselves. They decide what's appropriate, when not appropriate. You know, like, it's almost like it's a bit of a mind fuck, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, even, because I mean, what she really was specifically talking about here, too, is that her character, Jessica, in Fresh Off the Boat, has a quote-unquote stereotypical Asian American accent.
Right.
And she's also what is called in the book a tiger mom, which is also could be stereotypical in Asian culture. And people said to her, like, oh, you're playing such a stereotypical role that's like harmful for culture. And she's like, no. What is harmful for culture is when all those white dudes wrote those racist movies with these terrible Asian accents and like and had white people playing them.
Yeah.
And now, like, I can't even play Eddie's mom in this TV show because you're saying it's harmful when, like, it's actually just a real story on the backs of horrible, horrible storytelling in Hollywood for 100 years. I want to like print it out and like give it to 20 specific people I'm thinking about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, your melody number. That was just a little bonus teaser of the full episode. Are you mad? Are you mad at us? And you're like, why isn't this a full episode? I get it. But we have to pay for this podcast somehow because we are independent. And let me tell you, I got good news. For literally just a dollar a month, you can get all of the bonus episodes. It's just a dollar. And Patreon also was like, Chelsea, no, it has to be $5. And I was like, I don't want anyone to be left out. So there's a dollar pay what you can option. If you can pay more and do love supporting this podcast, give us the $5 option. But I don't check it. Do whatever you want. Put in $1 or $5 a month and get the rest of this episode and all of them, and know that you are going to pay to support the production on this podcast. And it means a lot to us, and it's the reason why we can keep doing great books. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you for another episode if you go to the Patreon.